as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Okay, I'm recording whenever you're
ready. Let's do it, man.
2 years ago on the Sessions at Midori House, we had the pleasure of being performed to by American musician Wise Blood, and it still goes down as one of my favourites to date. Well, this week I'm pleased to say that Wise Blood, or Natalie Mehring as she's known to family and friends, is back in Studio 2 to play from her latest and rather brilliant album, First Row Seat to Earth.
I don't want you to leave, but I feel so bad that this is the time you met me. I'm going through a long phase. I don't try to relate. I don't really try to find someone to sedate me.
Wise Blood, welcome back to the Sessions at Midori House. Now, last time I spoke to you was about 2 years ago and you were just about to release your EP, Cardamom Times. And since then, you've released that, you've released an album, you've released another EP with Ariel Pink, and you've been on tour. You've been pretty busy.
Oh, yeah. Staying occupied.
And the album's called Front Row Seat to Earth, which kind of sounds like kind of a reflective title, you know, looking at the state of things. I guess in those 2 years that you've been writing and recording and performing, a lot's changed around the world.
Yes.
Was the idea behind this to have something to say about what's going on at the moment?
Definitely. It's kind of symbolic for our experience of reality now, kind of guarded behind our computer screens, and how a lot of people feel disconnected from globalized events, especially geological, like climate change type events, how it's kind of like theater for people and not really happening or something.
This track is called Generation Y.
And as well as climate change, you have a song called Generation Y, in which you tackle things like technology and how we interact with each other.
Yeah, I try to make something light of pervasive cell phone use in that song. It's not totally trying to diss it. I think it's more realizing how it's based on our emotional instincts to stay in touch and how it is kind of an emotionally manipulative technology in some ways, but the wanting to stay in touch is a good thing. There's some positivity to be gleaned from the situation, even though it's pretty dire.
Going to see the end of days. I've been hanging on my phone all day. And the fear goes away. Sinking ship for long.
The video was filmed in the Salton Sea, which is in the desert of California. It's an abandoned lake resort town that they built. It was like a man-made lake where they pumped a bunch of water in from the Colorado River and didn't realize there's this huge salt reservoir underneath the lake. And when they started to disturb it, and a lot of the water started evaporating, it oversalinated and killed all the fish living in it. And it became a total, like, dead zone, biologically. There's still some birds there, and there might be, like, one species of fish that can live there. But since then, they've also dumped a bunch of chemicals and crazy things. So it's totally abandoned. People just left their boats and their cars on the beaches, and there's lots of trash and rust, and it smells crazy bad. It's kind of like a little glimpse into the future. So when I started going there, I did my album cover there as well. I felt like it was really appropriate for some of the substance of the song, because it's just me and my friends kind of having fun in that environment, kind of learning how to embrace the concept of things changing so dramatically that we will have to learn how to have fun, even if it's our last day.
And there is always that sort of sense of humour to the music you do as well. Do you think that is important to be able to inject a bit of humour into the songs that you do?
Yeah, I think that it's really important to kind of see the similarities between tragedy and comedy, and how a lot of things can feel like a big cosmic joke. It's not all just kind of like suffering. So I do think there's something kind of religious about making a joke, something kind of sublime. I don't think that it takes away the intensity of the material.
I know my place.
some songs come fully formed, kind of like a lightning bolt, and I'll just get, you know, a whole song out in one day, almost fully formed, like a strange message that was like beyond me or something. And then other days it's more laborious, and I kind of have these small pieces that I'm, you know, piecing together over the course of 6 months. It's a mixture of the two, and I try to focus, you know, on what comes naturally. I don't try to force anything. So sometimes a melody will come into my head and I'll start with the voice. Sometimes I'll start with piano. It really depends on, you know, my mood.
And when I've seen you play in the past, I know that when I've gone to the pub, my friends afterwards, and we've talked about your performance, so many of my friends say that they really love it when it's just you on stage with your guitar. Would you ever just want to take all the other stuff away and just do a whole album of you and your guitar?
You know, I think that that's definitely in the cards. I love Leonard Cohen so much, and I love, there's a lot of musicians who did that so well, and there's a very sacred kind of mystery to the solo folk human being. But I do have this kind of wanderlust for arrangements and psychedelic pop, you know, kind of orchestra stuff. So finding a balance is cool. I think right now I'm kind of in the zone of using this arsenal of other, you know, sonic forces, but the solo folk record is in there somewhere.
This song is called Can't Go Home.
You did an EP earlier on this year with Ariel Pink, who you've been a musician for in the past. Why did you decide to do that now?
We were afforded the opportunity to go into a studio together because the Marfa Myths Festival, which is run by Mexican Summer, has a recording residency part of their festival. So they asked Ariel and I to do it, and we always wanted to play. It was pretty wild. I mean, he extracted parts of my voice that I didn't know existed. And I also learned a lot about his process, and he's a savant of harmony and melody. He really is truly gifted in that way, and you can see it when he works. He would hum a melody to me to play on the guitar. A lot of the instruments I played, except he played bass guitar and sang, but he'd hum a melody and I'd play it, and I'd be like, that doesn't sound very interesting. Where is this going? He's lost his mind, you know. And then, you know, an hour later, after we've added everything else, I'm like, wow, that's brilliant. He could hear the end result in the very beginning with these little tiny building blocks. And that, I think that's the sign of a true kind of like melodic pop genius.
Constant lightning bolts.
Oh yeah, he's full of it. It all comes fully formed too.
Do you think that you'll be performing it at all?
You know, we'll see. We'll see. We'll definitely be making more music together. Whether or not we'll perform those songs live, it's a strong possibility.
Somewhere I'll be back.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. This week's guest was Wise Blood, and her new album, First Row Seat to Earth, is out now on Mexican Summer Records. Natalie is currently touring in Europe and will support Father John Misty later on this year in North America, and her live shows come highly recommended. This show was produced by me, Holly Fisher, and mixed by Kieran Banerjee. Join us again at the same time next week when we'll have live music all the way from the Faroe Islands with Ivor. But for now, thanks for tuning in.